Hope you have a good morning. Let's open our Bibles to the gospel, not the gospel, excuse me, 1 John at the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 at the end of the Bible. First John 4, 7 to the end of the chapter. From the NESB, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are love. And God, we just pray that that you would awaken our spirits this morning. God, help us to receive your word. And Lord, we want to live out your instructions that you have for us in regards to love. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." So the characteristic of a believer isn't how often you come to church. It isn't how often you come to early morning prayer. It isn't how often you do your quiet time. The characteristic of a Christian, of a believer, is love. Let's love one another, John is saying, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God, knows God. And so how do we know that we know God? How do we know that we are Christian? It's by this metric of love. It's not a metric of good works. It's not a metric of good deeds. It's not a metric of service. It's not the metric of being a Christian or believer, the metric to measure how much of a Christian you are, so to say, is this metric of love. Verse 8, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, and God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that he might live through him." So God had demonstrated this kind of love by sending Jesus, and we know the story of Jesus, that he gave up his Son, his one and only Son, God did, to be the sacrifice for our sins. So this is the depth and the demonstration of the love of God. And in another part of Scripture says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so he died, even though we were not worthy of his love, he still died for us while we were still sinners. And so this is the example and the depth of his love. Verse 10, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins." In other words, we don't have the capacity to love, but we are shown that we are loved by him first, and that he became the sacrifice or the atonement for our sins. So verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." And so now there's this translation. God has demonstrated his love to us, and now there's this translation. Because of that love demonstrated to us, we are commanded now to move that forward to love others, to love the person next to you. We've talked about the Good Samaritan and who's our neighbor, and we've defined that our neighbor is the person next to us. Our neighbor is the people surrounding us. Our neighbor is potentially everyone that is our neighbor. So it is not just enough to go to retreat and receive this love and experience God's love and experience this refilling and things like that. Our hearts is not a holding tank for love. Our hearts are not holding tanks for God's presence, but now we are commanded to give that and extend it to others. We can preach on the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love one another as yourself. We can preach that forever, but until you experience and receive that kind of love from God himself on a regular basis, it's going to be extremely difficult to fulfill that. It's just going to be extremely difficult to fulfill the great commandment that God has given us. If we were to ask you, I want you to love someone who is unlovable, someone who is difficult to love. Our response may be, well, yeah, right, I can't even love myself. How do you expect me to love someone else when I can't even love myself? Maybe some of you know people who are judgmental, who are mean-spirited, maybe someone who is angry or self-righteous. Maybe you know someone who generally puts people down regularly. The irony of that is that when they do that, when they do those things, they're actually putting themselves down. When they are mean-spirited, when they're judgmental, they're actually doing it to themselves. Matthew 25 says, whatever you do to the least of these, you do it unto me. And so if I feel bad about myself, I'm going to take it out on someone else. And so if I feel bad about myself, I don't want you to feel good about yourself. And so those who, you know the phrase very well, those hurt people hurt people. In other words, those who have been hurt, hurt others. But I believe the opposite is true. Those who have been loved, love others. And until you have received that kind of love, it's impossible to love someone else. You can't love others until you've been loved. Until you've seen that demonstration of what love looks like, it's virtually impossible to love. You can't give something to others that you can't give. Someone could ask me, hey, you know, can I have a Porsche, or you know, can I have a Lamborghini? And my response is, sorry, I can't, because I don't have it to give you. I don't have that to give you. And unless you have that love until you've received or encountered that kind of love, it's impossible to give it to someone else. Yet Christ asks us as believers to give others that kind of love, that kind of agape love to others. But it's impossible to give it if you don't have it. And so unless you encounter it, you're not able to give that kind of love. And so those friends that I've described that are mean-spirited, angry, judgmental, always trying to put other people down, they are unlovely. You know, they're like, you know, people that you don't necessarily want to love because it's so hard to love them. But the reason why they are like that is because they are unloved. Unlovely people are unloved people. And you have to experience God's love. If you look at the life of Jesus and you look at just how amazing he was, and you look at the track record of his life and all the things that he did, he walked on water, an incredible thing. He fed 5,000 people out of loaves of bread and fish. He healed lepers. He casts out demons. He turned water into wine, and he did incredible miracles. And you look at the life of Jesus, and you look at his resume of all the things that he's done, and it's like, this is an amazing man. Look at all of the things that he's done, but what's more spectacular and what's more amazing than the miracles that he's done is the demonstration of his love to the world. Right? You can look at all of the amazing things that he's done, and what's even greater than that is the love that he's shown to his people. Because the most amazing thing about God's love is that his love penetrates people who are flawed, people who are unlovable, people who are dirty, people who are considered sinners. See, for us, it's easy to love someone who is lovable, someone who's cute, someone who's funny, someone who's receptive. Of course, we love these kinds of people, someone who is friendly, someone who is open. If you take the opposite, someone who is closed or angry or upset or irritating or annoying, those kinds of things, generally we don't want to love them, or we just don't love them because they're difficult to love. But the amazing thing about Jesus, despite his incredible resume of miracles, is that his love penetrates the flawed, the broken, the dirty, the poor, the unlovable. This is what is amazing about God's love. One of the kids in Noah's Ark, and just any child in general, they may have a favorite pet stuffed animal. Currently, my son loves this tiny little raggedy bear, and you know sometimes he asks for it when he wants to sleep, and it's just literally like a two Hong Kong dollar little stuffed animal, but you know he loves it, and I don't understand. But many of our children, they love these stuffed animals, and they grow attached to it, and you can't pull them apart from these stuffed animals, and you know you just went to the store and they're only worth, you know, maybe $2 or something like that, but they love it, and you look at it and the eyes are falling off, and you know the buttons are falling off, maybe the arm is even ripped, and some of the stuffing has come out and stuff, and you would ask that child, let me replace that and let me give you a brand new wonderful big stuffed bear and things like that, and many times the answer will be absolutely no way. They are attached to this stuffed animal, and with your own objective eyes you look at that and you don't understand why would you not replace this. And so one time, you know, just as a joke, a friend of mine was like, you know, honey, you know, I'll give you $10 for the stuffed animal, and she said no, and so he raised it up, I'll give you $100 for this stuffed animal, and she said no, and so you continue to raise it, $1,000 for this stuffed animal, and he's like no, and then finally he said, I'll give you $1,000,000 for this stuffed animal. And so let's pause right here. That's a great deal. $1,000,000 for this little raggedy, torn up, ripped apart, you know, eyes falling off, stuffed animal. Her response was, no, this is my, whatever the name was, and I love it. Now, objectively speaking, you would say that's a pretty, you know, dumb assessment. I mean, take the $1,000,000, that's the better transaction. But the reason why this little girl would not give up this stuffed animal is because the value of the stuffed animal is not based on the monetary offer. It's based on how much love that she's put into this stuffed animal. In other words, the value of the stuffed animal is not based on this monetary offers, but it's based on how much she has loved the stuffed animal. The value is based on the love put into the stuffed animal. In that same way, the Bible tells us in verse 19 that we love because he first loved us. The powerful part of the gospel is not our ability to love others as it is commanded in scriptures, but it's because Jesus has loved us that gives us value. And Christianity is the only religion where our value increases. We are valuable not because of what we are in ourselves. What we are in ourselves are sinners and people who do wrong things and do evil things, but because of the love of Jesus, he loves us. His love increases our value to the point where you are so valuable, I'm going to die for you. That's the kind of love that God has demonstrated to us. God doesn't love us because we're valuable. I mean, look at us. We're not. We're nothing. We don't have any ability to do anything significant outside of Christ. And that's why he says to abide in him and he in us. God doesn't love us because we're valuable. We are valuable because he loves us. We are valuable because we are children of the King. If you take a baby who has been left in the orphanage, that baby, of course, because the baby is a human life, but in terms of reputation and recognition, this baby is nobody, doesn't even have a name sometimes. But when that person is adopted into a royal family, that child now becomes an heir, a king, a princess, a prince, because of the adoption. And it's that same way God has loved us, and because of that love, we become now valuable. Where we were once nothing, now we are a child of the King. But even more amazing than that is that God didn't wait for us to meet his expectations. He didn't wait for us to make him proud. He didn't wait for us to measure up to his standards. He simply loved us first. And God's love is unconditional and complete, and we can't earn it. We can't escape it. We can't erase it. He might be upset or when we disobey him, or saddened when we stray away from him, or sorrowful when we sin, but he never, ever stops loving us. The Bible says there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing. I'm just reminded of the image of Jesus at his baptism. And as Pastor Sam has mentioned many times, at his baptism, the heavens open and the voice comes down and he says, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." In other words, affirming his love for his son, Jesus. But up to this point, Jesus had done nothing. He hadn't preached any sermons. He hadn't done any miracles. He had done nothing. He simply loved him and declared his love for him simply because he was his child. And many of us have this idea that the more we do for God, the more we can receive his love. But Jesus wants to tell us this morning that he loves us from the beginning, not because of what we've done, that we are increased in value because of the love he's given us. And so, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. That is our motivation. That is the motivation. Scripture calls us to love one another, but we can't do that unless we've experienced his love. And if we could have Jeff come up. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. Of course, because they are in conflict with one another. Because God is love, he loves us, we need to love others. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So this morning I just want to sort of talk about the incredible love of God, and that it starts here, that we as believers are marked by his love. And so whatever difficulties or issues that you might have in regards to your faith or relationship with Jesus Christ, let's simplify things and make it very simple, that it all comes back to the love of God. That you might be in a financial crisis, or you might be in a relational struggle, or you might be confused about your future, or you're having difficulty, you know, being married or being single, whatever that is, it comes back to this idea. Beloved, my loved ones, hey, let's love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God, knows God, and God is love. And so as we bow our heads this morning, I want you to think about your metric of love. There are two metrics that I want you to think about. First of all, in receiving and experiencing the love of God, maybe you're running on empty. Maybe that tank is a little bit low. Maybe you're thinking, "God, I haven't experienced or received your love or felt your love in a very long time." Maybe that metric is very low. Well, God says, "I'm here. I'm available. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you." Lord says, "He's here. Ask him to fill you up." The second metric is how much are we extending ourselves to love our brothers and sisters? Maybe that metric is low. Maybe because you find the people in your life annoying and irritating and unlovable. Well, if the first metric is low, then it's going to be difficult to love them. But if your tank is full, then all that happens is it's an overflow, overflow, overflow. And so let's meditate on that. Let's let that be the focus of our prayer this morning, amongst all of our other personal petitions and requests before God. But Lord, I want to love you. I want to love your people. Lord, fill me up with your love. Let me experience you. So Father, I just pray that we would experience your embrace today. God, remind us of the acts of love that you've demonstrated in our lives. Remind us of that day where we received you into our heart, that first love. Remind us of the days that you saved us from harm. Remind us of the days when we were alone, that you showed up. Remind us of the days that you've touched our hearts. God, remind us that you have not left us or forsaken us, as your word promises that you didn't and that you won't. Remind us that you are here. And so as we sing this song, may God's love cover you.
Up from the grave. risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Come awake, Christ is risen from the grave. Come awake, Christ is risen from the grave.
Thank you, Lord, that you're alive and well, and that you're here to be in the midst of your people as we sing your praises, God. Yes, Lord. And here's our opportunity to extend love to our neighbors, to our community. And so as we intercede and pray for them, I know for many of us, we've received just the blessing of people praying for us and seeing God answer as we've been sustained by the prayers of our community. And so let's lift them up. Let's lift up those on the screen struggling with cancer. God answers, and God has done some great things through the prayers here at AMP and through just throughout. So let's lift them up by name, and let's ask the Lord to heal, to restore, to comfort, to strengthen. And so let's lift up those struggling with cancer right now. Let's pray. Pray for the salvation of those who are struggling with cancer and other situations, ailments, and things like that. Also, let's lift up those in your family that that need salvation. Let's continue to pray for them. So let's pray for healing and salvation for those on the screen, and also your loved ones and friends in your life. Let's pray. Let's pray for others going through different ailments and sicknesses and illnesses. Let's ask the Lord to restore them. Let's pray for complete healing right now. So let's pray for them right now. Thank you. pray for those looking for jobs and employment, and let's ask the Lord to open up doors and interviews, and let's ask the Lord to place them where they need to be. And so let's pray for them right now. Pray for our mission focus for today, and I believe today we're praying for Cambodia. Let's lift up Grace and Ashley, who are still with us here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for their work and at Bloom. Let's pray for Pastor Oh and for Vision to Reality. Let's pray for Pastor Tang for New Life Church. Let's ask the Lord to increase the light of Jesus in Cambodia through their ministries, and let's lift them up. Let's ask the Lord to provide all that they need for them. So let's pray. Pray for the board. Let's pray for Pastor Sam, Lisa, Hyde, Janie, Tom, Kiwan, Brian, Monica. And there's going to be changes with the board and some repositioning and things like that. So let's lift up those things. Let's lift up Pastor Sam as he leads. Let's ask for direction and vision and unity. And let's pray for their families. And so let's lift up the board right now. Pray for our men's and women's ministries, that they would continue to serve our men and women, and that they would continue to do great works for these ministries. So let's lift them up right now. Continue to lift up SP 2.0, our new building and donor that's been prophesied, that the Lord would provide someone to be able to fund this new building. And so let's pray for our future at SP as we continue to grow. And it's very apparent that we do need new space and a bigger place. And as God is continuing to pour His blessing upon us, so let's pray for SP 2.0, and let's lift that up right now. We just finished retreat, so let's just thank the Lord for what He's done at retreat, and let's ask the Lord to continue to bless the seeds that were planted, the work that was done. Let's I'm just reminded that we need to be thankful for the work that God does in our lives, and not to disregard the blessings that He's given us. We need to be thankful, and so let's just praise Him for the work that He's done retreat, and ask the Lord to continue it all throughout this time. So let's pray. Finally, let's pray for a house church's meeting today, and I'm sure there's going to be an energy and an excitement after retreat to just talk about just what went on and things like that, and just to get together again. So let's lift them up right now. Lord, we thank You for the love that You've shown us. And Lord, we just want to come here this morning to be with You. We want to seek Your face. God, we want to give You our heart. We want to pour out our heart to You. Lord, we want to hear from You. God, we just want just to enjoy this time in Your presence and with You, God. And so, Lord, help us to love others as You have loved us, God. Fill us with Your love. Fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your presence today, God, as we go forth to wherever we are going, God. We want to bless You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day. We bless you. I encourage you to stay and pray and enjoy this time of prayer. And we'll see you tomorrow.